Welcome to Forget the Walls podcast. My name is Elizabeth and I am your host. All right. Pain. That's the topic today. Pain. Before you click off, disconnect, or disengage because you read the word rape, I just want you to know that the topic today is pain. Because when you hear the word rape, your mind goes to different places, doesn't it? It thinks about men, it thinks about women. It thinks about how these two relate to each other in the context of this conversation. And if your mind is caught up on the news or social media, it will think about injustice. It doesn't feel comfortable, does it? Another uncomfortable conversation birthed from our inability to see that your human experience affects mine and mine affects yours. And even now, as I speak, some people refuse to believe that. We continue to address deep-rooted issues at its surface and wonder why it remains. You know, in order to convince you that this conversation does not exclude you, regardless of your own life experience, I wanted to name all the different positions people hold in your life. I wanted to name your mom. I wanted to name your father, your niece and your nephew, your brother and your sister, your friend, your husband, your wife. I wanted to name you. I wanted to tell you that this burden can be a reality for any one of them, and it can be a reality for you. So don't exclude yourself from this conversation, even if you haven't lived it, but especially if you have lived it. As humans, we are not exempt from pain. We are not exempt from the burden. This is our reality. Pain is a mandatory course. It's a mandatory class in the course of life. We must take this class to pass. But from where I'm sitting, it looks like we're failing because we don't get it. Or maybe we don't like it. We don't get or like the topic. Regardless, we are failing, yet we need to pass. So I guess we do have to go back to class. Go back to class and start learning about pain. And maybe we'll be able to see each other. And not only empathize or sympathize, but maybe we will understand enough to act and heal and grow. And become better individuals, the organisms, becoming better so the organization can take shape. That's what this is. It starts with you and me, of course. Today we want to talk to the victims. Talk to the abusers. Talk to the observers, sympathizers and the empathizers. Today we want to understand how to navigate. What do we do with this pain, this shame, this discomfort? What do we do?
Hello, welcome to Forget the Walls. I don't even know how to introduce this lady to you guys. I met her last summer and she has transformed from a stranger to a sister to me. And I love her so much. I love her so much. I've never seen somebody demonstrate so much strength, so much willpower. And I don't think I can have anybody else on this episode with me that would really embody what I'm trying to share with you guys right now, which is the ability to understand pain and the ability to navigate with pain without allowing it to dominate and dictate and really determine what your outcome is. I'm gonna share a quick story before I introduce my sister, Chrissy. So I met her last summer and we were outreaching. So this is when we like talk to people on the street about God and stuff. And we were outreaching and like, I wasn't really familiar with that because I had stopped going to church for like over 3 years. I just was not doing that. And, you know, like, outreaching was really new for me. So I'm standing there freaking out, like a lot is going on in my mind. And then Chrissy is standing beside me and I don't know what I asked her, but she just like told me, you know, you know, dad passed like the day before. I'm standing right beside her and she's telling me that her father has gone home and she's here on the street preaching to strangers about God. And I was like, what the heck is God? Like, what? I was like, how is she standing? Girl, if you don't get here and talk to the people, I don't know. Like, how is she? I was like, who is this person? Like, where does that come from? You know, that's just the very first moment that I've seen her carry pain with such strength and such power. And she's human, just like me and you guys. So, you know, my brain can't fathom, but I'm glad to have her as a sister. I'm glad to know someone like her. I'm glad to have the opportunity to be able to grow with her. And without further ado, Chrissy with the bars.
Wow.
No, she has bars for days. Thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you so much for just choosing to be part of this conversation, because it's a tough one. I just want to say, like, for me, this conversation was one that I didn't want to have. I was praying and I was telling God, like, you know, I don't want to do this podcast by myself. So what do you want me to do? Like, what would you like me to go into? And it was laid on my heart, rape culture. And to be honest, when that happened, I had to Google what it actually really, really meant, like the term rape culture, and educate myself, even though I've been subject to the reality of rape and rape culture. And I didn't want to talk about it, to be honest. And I just really depended on God to direct me on the path that he wanted me to go. And I'm glad that he did, but I'm also glad that I'm able to have a sister who's going to speak life to people right now, and we're going to help each other understand, you know, more, and hopefully help you guys understand even more. I need people to really hear this. I need people to really understand this, like, strip all, everything you know about being raped and being a victim and, you know, even convicted rape, everything you know about it, just strip it off for a second, and let's just come to a human level for a second. And let's start understanding from that level, and let's approach this conversation from that level, so we can have real understanding, and this can really sit with us and hopefully help us grow. So yeah, Chrissy, man, how are you? The newest bride in town, first off. How's married life?
Married life is going great.
Like, just got married like 3 weeks ago.
It's actually, do you know what? I think because we are like such good friends, it makes it easier to actually like begin this new journey together.
I'm going to tell you something, guys. Chrissy and her man kissed for the first time the day that the pastor said, you may now kiss your wife. That was the very first time they kissed. And you guys have been dating for how long?
Started dating last January.
Yo, that's really the first time they kissed. And I was crying on her wedding day through Zoom. And I was like, no. I was really in tears. I was like, oh my God. It was just so beautiful. When you get to a destination that just feels, looked, seemed impossible after so much pain, it's just like, me and you have only been friends for like a year, and I was standing watching your wedding through the screen, and I kid you not, it was magical, like heavenly, goosebumps and all. I don't even know where to begin. I think I got a few. What's the first question I have for you? I guess
go easy.
Let's just even for the sake of transparency, let's just I don't know who wants to go first. Me or you? Who wants to share their beautiful story with the world?
I think you lead the way.
Okay. All right. Cool. I can tell this story with no burden, no guilt, no shame, nothing. Like, I'm completely free. Right now, this is the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. I guess this would have more impact if people knew how I felt before. What I'm about to say, it puts so much weight on my back. It puts so much guilt in my heart. It just made every single time I would think about you know, think about it or think back, I would just be so disgusted. Like, I would just be so sick to my stomach, because it was just a mess. And I think that the reason that I'm able to talk about it so freely right now is because I have understanding. So if you are listening to this and you've experienced any form of abuse, or you're in pain because of somebody who really broke your heart or took advantage of your innocence, or even when you were, like, say that you were vulnerable or something, or you're the one who, through some form of dysfunction, you find that you're trapped in this pattern where you really find some pleasure, however dark this sounds, find pleasure in forcing yourself on people. So the abuser or the victim or the people around, all those, you know, either one of those people, if you're listening right now, just to know that it's possible to be free. It's possible to be able to say, yeah, that happened to me before, but, like, I get it now. I don't have to feel sick when I think about it. If anything, I'm able to use it. I'm able to use that experience to do something that is going to be constructive instead of destructive. And I think that's why I'm free. My story. So I was maybe, it was six, seven, eight, somewhere in between there. God bless my parents. Like, I love them so much, but just having a lot of grown-ups around kids without families, without like, I don't even know, because sometimes parents do this to their own kids, you know. But I guess, you know, my parents weren't home, you know, a lot, and they really did think that we were in good hands. But not everybody, you know, just be careful with your kids, man. So I was around that age, and this adult, I guess, you know, vulnerable and all, I don't know. I guess he did what he thought he could do, because there was no one there to stop him. And then I grew up, and I didn't acknowledge that situation at all. I didn't say anything. If anything, I was just saying to Chrissy there, I just noticed that I just knew that I was exposed to something that was now, it wasn't good. Like, I knew it wasn't good. Like, I couldn't be like to my mom, you know, this happened or that happened. I knew it wasn't good. And I grew up and I never acknowledged it. And I think that the first time I properly said to myself, like, this happened, was when I was like 18. I had said it to myself randomly, you know, maybe when I was 14, but I never actually accepted it.
Hard to accept.
Yeah, like, the minute that I accepted it, it was just like, I just know. But I think what happened for me was, because I never acknowledged it, I just thought I was living my life. Like, I grew up and I became familiar with men or boys. I don't even know what you want to call them. And I thought that I was making decisions by myself, but every decision that I made regarding men was from a dysfunctional place, you know, because I, at this point, like, at the age of 6 or 7, you were introduced to, like, a level of intimacy that you need guidance and you need, like, a good grounding, like, a good foundation to, like, really help you understand what that is. And that was missing, but I was introduced to that intimacy. So now it's like, I have no point of reference to help me understand this passion. Like, so now I've been introduced to that, but I don't know what it is. Do you get me? So can you imagine giving a child fire and just saying, like, just there you go. It's just like, it's like, and they know it's hot, but that's about all they know. They don't know that it could burn down their whole house. Yeah. And that's what it was doing for me. Like, it was like the fire, it was really small. And then as I grew up, it's like, it started to go into different parts. First of all, I did not know, I had no idea who I actually was. Do you know what I mean? You don't even get to that point where you know yourself, but you're introduced to intimacy. So that's a dysfunction right there. I think when I was met with the event again as an adult, then I realized, okay, there's a there's a problem here. Because at that point, this is about what I knew about myself. I knew that I was somewhat confident. I knew that I had like somewhat of a standard, what I like and what I don't like. And at this point, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, where's all your standards?
Yeah.
How did you like allow this to even happen? Because at this point I'm an adult, and to be fair, I'm not trying to say like this is my fault. It really was not my fault. But I opened the door for this person. Literally. You know what I mean? Like, I literally didn't come into my house. You know what I mean? So at this point, I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking, you, like, where's all the standards? Like, what's up? Like, you know, and then I started, you know, realizing, like, observing, just self-evaluating and seeing, like, there's a dysfunction here. And I still didn't know what to do. I still didn't know what to do. I still had no understanding. So for you, I guess, yeah, what was the moment when you were like, this happened to me? Or when it happened, did you have an understanding of what it was?
No, I don't, like, honestly, because I was so young, I think I was between the age of 5 and 7.
Right.
And I can still remember it to this day.
Right.
Now, I don't know how.
Right.
But I remember my parents weren't home.
Right. Me too.
It's not how these things always like happening in secret, isn't it?
And they're not going to do it in front of your mom. Oh, goodness.
But you know, I didn't really cop on, but these things were happening. And because that opened, you know, like you said, that opened the door. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to other little boys.
Right.
Around the same age.
Right.
Like, I remember there was one time when, you know, one of the neighborhood kids came over. And the thing is, in Nigeria, there's no such thing as social welfare. You can stay home as long as you're mature at the age of 6 and nobody don't care. You know? Mm-hmm. And so they left us alone. They left me and this boy alone in the house. And I go, we're just going to go there, go grab something, you know, obviously be safe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were playing and it just got to that point.
Mm.
That point, you know?
Right.
And I just remember thinking, what the heck is this? And it's mad because he was trying to stop.
Right.
And I was like, no.
Right. Right. So
we flipped the script.
Mm-hmm.
It started with, you know, the you
somebody know, the else doing it to you.
Do you know what I mean? And now I'm doing it to somebody else.
Right. And it's so crazy because now it's like, okay, you're doing it to a boy, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And that boy will now be introduced to what you were introduced to.
Yeah.
You get me? And he also does not have any frame of reference. Like, he has no reference point. He's not going to go to his mom. Because at that point, you understand that this is wrong somehow in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not going to go to his mom and say, mom, like, you know, this girl was touching me. He's not. Like, I mean, this is the odd child that talks a lot, but that's how he's not gonna do that. So now he has the flame too. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like a chain reaction kind of thing, like a link. Like, you know, you get it from one person and you don't realize when you start passing it on to the next person. Obviously, that's how the culture grows, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that episode was like over. And then I remember coming to Ireland. I came to Ireland at the age of 9, right?
Right.
And around the age of 10, 11, it started again.
Mm-hmm.
But now with a much older person.
Right.
Right. Now it's this person that's doing the initiation.
Right. Right.
And
again.
Because I've been introduced to it before, I'm like, oh yeah, sure, why not?
It wasn't strange. Right.
Normal. This is, you know.
Yeah.
Once again, secretive. Like, it didn't even occur to my young mind that.
Right.
You know, tell somebody kind of thing, because it's always one of them if you tell someone blah 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 blah, or the brand, it was mad because I remember the point where I knew, okay, it has now become an addiction, was whenever I hear this person is coming over,
right?
I get ready. And then if that wasn't bad enough, it got to the point where this person's younger brother literally was like, I want to get a taste of what my brother's getting.
What the heck?
So why not?
Crazy.
You know? So now,
right.
Another person is now in the whole situation.
Right.
But both brothers can't find out.
Right. You
know? It's like pig in the middle kind of thing. I don't even know why I'm laughing. It's just, I suppose,
because you're free. Because you're free. You are free. That's why.
How the heck did I not get pregnant? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was like an open door.
Right.
So I still think of it and I'm like, dang, God has been with me even in
the whole time. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I just remember you're probably like the second or third person I'm saying this to comfortably.
Shame, right?
Exactly.
It's shame. It's shame because I don't know about you, but when I think about rape and abuse and just people molesting other, you know, people and stuff like that, my response to the event did not go hand in hand to what people say rape is. Mm. So not only do I feel like, you know, yeah, shame, disgust, but I'm also now unable to acknowledge that this person did abuse you.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you played a part. And I want to talk about that for a second. There's nothing wrong with you understanding that you played a part if it leads you to take responsibility. And when I say responsibility, I attach that word to accountability. And it's not for somebody else's action. It's actually for your own, so that you can get your well-being in order. It's not for somebody else, or to you know, reduce the gravity of whatever that person did. No, it's for you. It's really for you. But what society does regarding rape culture that messes everything up is that we get lost and then we start making it this is like men against women.
Yes.
True. It's true that according to statistics, women, well, we're seen to have more cases than men, but that could be for a lot of other reasons that we're not going to get into. That's true. Are we trying to fix this, or are we just trying to fight each other?
Yeah.
Are we trying to help each other heal, or are we just trying to argue?
Yeah.
If we're trying to help each other heal, can we start saying some truths? So I was going to ask you, when it first happened to you, like the very, very first time, did you, in your mind and in your heart, were you aware of any, I don't mean physical pain, did you know that this was like a traumatic event? Did you know that this was going to have an effect on you? Like, did your mind think pain? Did you think pain in any way? Did your heart feel heavy? Do you remember feeling any sort of pain from this traumatic event?
Honestly, not when it first happened.
Yeah.
But as I get flashbacks,
right,
it comes back to my mind.
Right.
As I understand now.
Right.
It pains.
Right.
Because the bit that pains is, how can someone who's an adult.
Right.
That's meant to have understanding above this child.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of this child's innocence.
Right.
Because you may, like, you know, he may have wanted to satisfy himself,
right,
but your selfishness has made you blind to the seed that you've planted,
right? Yeah,
because from that event, and obviously the ones that followed, that event opened the door for the ones that followed, right?
Yeah.
And it's like I said earlier, it's like a link, you know.
Yes.
So that, and that opened the door to pornography,
right?
Which opened the door to lust.
Right.
Do you see how it, like,
I'm
pretty sure in his selfishness, he never thought all that was going to follow me.
Yes. Yes.
Do you get me?
So yes.
As I think of it, as I think, you know, the flashbacks come, when I think of it, that thought follows, then I get pain.
Right.
You see, so.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm the same. I felt no pain. I remember no pain. But, and I would say that a lot of people that even right now that kind of like have experienced this or do mm-hmm. this to other people, mm-hmm. depending on how much they've normalized what they do with their body, what's done to them and what they do to others,
yeah.
you won't, like the pain that we're talking about is not like a physical pain, you know, when you hurt your leg, like it's the trauma that affects your decisions. The pain that we're talking about is the one that cripples you and affects the way that you think and assess things.
Yeah.
So after the event happened, I didn't feel physical pain because I lacked knowledge and understanding. But I couldn't control the fruits of the seed that has been planted. And because it was a traumatic event, it was going to introduce pain because that traumatic event now has created a dysfunction in me as a child. That traumatic event has affected how I understand intimacy, how I understand self-value. Because if you can take somebody and you can just kind of put yourself on top of them, and you, like, as a young child, if you're introduced to that much, like, physical oppression, like, come on. If you're introduced to that much physical oppression as a child, even if your mom tells you you're beautiful every day of your life up until that age, when you're six, in your mind, it's not that you think that you're worth nothing. You just think that it's okay. Do you get me? You start thinking it's okay. And for me, I thought that I had control. Okay, I'm going to tell you something, right? This is crazy. So first of all, I should have said this at the very start. If you have children, I'm so sorry, I'm saying it late. If you have children around, please take your kids away. Talk to them about this situation after you've educated yourself. Please. Thank you. Okay, just for the sake, just to have people understand, right? And as I'm thinking about it now, I'm only connecting the dots, actually. Oh, goodness. When it first happened, I remember, like, this adult basically giving me instructions, telling me what to do. And I don't know why my brain thought in complying to the instructions, I was showing that I have control. Please, please hold that. In complying to the instruction, in doing what this person wanted to, I was showing I have control. That sense of I have control in the midst of trauma messed up my whole life.
Yeah.
Because now I grow up, I still believe I have control when in actual fact I don't, because I'm ill-equipped. I have no sense of identity. I've been introduced to intimacy too quickly without any point of reference. So my pattern of thought is now dysfunctioned because there hasn't been, like, there hasn't been guidance. There was nothing to govern that part of my life. When I could really see that, okay, there's a problem, was a moment in time when I was really, really hurt. And in order to show that I still have control, the way that I responded, I hurt myself even more in the process. And this is all to do with men. This is all to do with men, because I think what had happened was, it was a really bad relationship and a bad situation. Stop entering relationships when you don't know who you are. Stop entering relationships when you don't know who you are yet. Gosh, I'm tired. So
I
obviously,
hold that here. Yeah. I'm gonna save myself some pain,
bro. So I mean, so when I got out of that relationship, I couldn't control what was happening. Keep in mind, all this sense of control—it's a false sense of control. It's not actually. You don't have. Do you know what I mean? So, I was like, okay, I make the decisions. I run things around here. if I'm, this pain is not affecting what I choose to do or not do, but it did, because I fell short of my own standards. You know, I let somebody into my house that on a regular day, I would never, ever. Do you know what I mean? I leaned into like a destructive path just because I thought I'm still in control. Like, I just want to feel, I just want company right now, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, unbeknownst to me, this person needed help. You know what I mean? This person really needed help by them, on their own. But yeah, that's how that happened the second time. But I can see the correlation from that very first time when I was like maybe six, and when I'm 19 years old, how I still felt like, how I still responded to abuse by trying to claim control. And what I did was I complied. I chose to participate in the act because of a false sense of control. It's like, I'm going to continue to do this because I'm making decision. I wasn't, because there was pain involved. Do you know what I mean? There was trauma involved. And I'm just wondering, like, what has pain taught you? Like, what have you learned? Being acquainted to pain, or when did you even know that there was pain involved and trauma involved? Let's start there.
Pain will mess you up.
Pain will mess you up. Pain will, pain will mess you up.
I think the first time I really started feeling pain, it wasn't when it first happened, but more when it started happening when I came to Ireland. You know, I remember, obviously, at the start, you know, getting excited. Oh, he's coming over, blah, blah, blah. And then him leaving, I remember feeling so used.
Right.
And I'm like, what the? It's like one of them, no, next time it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's a lie.
Right. That's a lie. That's a real lie. That's how you know you're enslaved too. If you want to do something and you can't do it, you simply just can't do it, bro. You have to say, like, what's actually controlling me here?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, false sense of control. Like, no, I'm going to tell him I don't want to do this no more. Blah, 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 blah. I'm done. I feel like this. I feel used. I feel abused. No. Next time he came over, we're back to the same old thing. Right. You know? Dancing to the same music.
And some people would say, well, at that point, that's not rape anymore. You just need to get help.
I would agree with that. From my experience, what I believe is, yes, it's no longer rape anymore, but you're still being manipulated into that kind of use.
Right.
So either way you look at it, there's nothing positive coming out of it.
Right.
Because I remember for me, it was thinking, you know, better please him, otherwise who else would want me, kind of thing.
Right.
And that's not good mentality for, I mean, I was underage. This guy
could have gone to
prison if I exposed him.
Right. The seed, when it's planted, it's gonna produce fruits. So when we talk about the aftermath of rape, it's just as important, maybe even more important, than the event itself. Because, like you said, after the very first encounter, the thing that you were exposed to made it possible for you to want to do it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So your aftermath was planting seed in somebody else. And it's like, my aftermath was not only, it was destroying me. Like, it was literally breaking. Every single decision I was making from that place of pain was taking parts of me, and there was not that much left. Like I had no sense of true identity. No sense of self. And it's like, I became acquainted to pain and I didn't even know.
I agree with that.
I didn't even know. So there's people that can be listening right now. You can be, your decisions, what you do, you can Pain could be the one driving the car right now, and you're sitting at the back seat and you have no idea. And you think you're driving because you think you're making the decisions in your life. But pain is the one making all the turns. But you're not even aware.
You could just be that backseat driver.
Backseat driver, false control literally. And all. Like a kid. Yeah. You know, when God was teaching me stuff like last week, he said, like, I was like, how do I explain this? And it's like, you know, when your mom says, don't get into a car with strangers.
Yeah.
It's like pain is a stranger that we all have to be acquainted with at some point. But when we get into a car with a stranger and pain is the one in control, like you can't trust yourself at that point.
Oh yeah.
Because pain will cripple you and affect how you think. If something cripples you and affects how you think, how can you say that you're in control?
No, think about it deeply.
How can we say we're in control? But we actually genuinely in this culture, because we physically can move around and do whatever we want. We genuinely feel like we're independent. Our reality is independent from our experience. It's not. That's not possible. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it happened to me, but I'm fine. How? You think you're fine because you're not paying attention to the patterns of your behavior. Because the minute that I realized that I was dependent on men, I said, wow. Do you know how long that took me to figure that out? My whole life. I think that the reason that people in our, like, you know, a lot of people in our culture now just don't think about how they respond to trauma is because everybody's really secretive.
Oh, yeah.
And we're secretive because we know that we judge one another. Mm. But that's not as bad as the judgment that you place on yourself.
Yes.
So what I struggled with for a long time, even after I was saved, when I say saved, for people who don't know what that means, it means when the Lord Jesus Christ touches your life and changes your whole destiny.
Born again!
Even after I was saved, I still cringed and I wanted to throw up every time I thought about my past. I wrote a letter and I said, I was, you know, talking to God, whatever. And I said to him, where is it? I said, I'm angry with my past because I blame it for my present pain. I said, I'm angry, like I'm upset with my past because I blame it for how I feel right now. And I think that what he made me understand was that I didn't know what pain could do. So I want us to really get into it right now. Like, we know that it's uncomfortable. We know that it has the ability to affect our decisions and cripple us. But pain also has the potential to reveal purpose. Because when you're like really in pain, depending on what you focus on, you have two different outcomes, constructive or destructive. Like I said, some people will like to believe that, you know, I'm still in control, but how can you be in control? I don't see how.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else governing how you navigate through your life with pain. Unless there's something else helping you understand. So I think the first thing that I really picked up on when I was really trying to understand, like, pain has a purpose and pain has a path. And what you allow to govern will determine the outcome of that painful process. What you allow to govern you will determine the outcome of that painful process. like I said, we'll think that, oh, I'm the one that's going to do the governance. I'm the one that's going to tell myself how to respond to this traumatic event.
Girl, you lie.
it's like every single time you realize that you just can't. The reason you can't is because it happened to you. You're the one it happened to. It didn't cripple anybody else but you. So how can you save yourself, you know, from the stranger?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that. You can check out part 2 of Purposeful Pain on episode 2. I would ask everybody to reflect on your own personal experience if you haven't experienced anything as it pertains to rape culture. I'm sure that you have experienced pain that, you know, maybe comes from trauma in some way, shape, or form. It's important to recognize these things. I would say that it's not only important for you, the individual, but it's also important for people around you, because, you know, these things, it has an effect on how you see yourself, but it'll also affect how you relate to others, how you see others, you know. So instead of being that individual that just accepts defects in their character and say statements like, that's just the way I am, you can you know, check that out and try to understand yourself. Try to understand yourself so that you can be more understanding to others. You know, it starts with you. And that's what I said at the very start. And I believe that, you know, in order for all of us, in order to see a better world, we have to see a better reflection in the mirror every day first. And that's where it starts. So signing out, I'm your girl, Elizabeth, and catch you at part 2. Bye. All right.